That's not even what it's talking about. What it's talking about is how hard it is to live for God in this hour. That's what it's talking about. We're living in perilous times because the enemy knows his time is short, which means he knows your time is short on the face of this earth. And so he has upped his game. And the church is trying to play catch up. That's what's going on. The church is trying to play. The enemy has upped his game. He has upped his attack. He has taken technology and began to use it for his glory and his honor and his attack. Social media is your worst enemy. Sorry. It's your worst enemy. I'm thankful we can use it. It was a tool of God in the life of a young nurse. But it's your worst enemy as a child of God because it occupies your mind more than God does. If you go to bed looking at social media, you might have some strange dreams. You go to bed listening to Scripture and you'll have sweet peace. Are you getting my sway here this morning? The title of the message this morning, hold on. The advantage to lose. That's like that's one of them oxymorons. Do what? I thought if we had the advantage, we're going to win. Well, if I get through some of this, you're going to find out to win on God's team means you lose your will, your way, your wants, and you lay hold of God's. God has given you and I the advantage to lose our lives so that we might gain His. Praise God. All right, I want to share some scriptures with you, because that's one thing about scriptures. You can argue with my opinion. You can argue with my beliefs. But brothers and sisters, if you argue with the scriptures, that's not wise. John chapter 1, verse number 1, all the way down to verse number 4, says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him." Praise God. "Without Him was not anything made that was made. Everything you see on the face of this earth, Jesus Christ, His hand was in creating it. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men." Amen. Now, Jesus Christ is all about life. But the life that He is all about is spiritual life. Not carnal life. Not worldly life. Not self life. The life that Jesus Christ is all about is the life of God inside of us. Hallelujah. And He's the light of men. Jesus Christ is the one that's going to lead us out of darkness into His marvelous light. He is life. He is light. In Him is no darkness. Praise God. So if darkness is groping over your life, that means something about Jesus Christ is not being fulfilled in your life. Because He's life and He's light. And He will lead you out of darkness into that marvelous light of His. Hallelujah. So this, I want to talk about for the advantage here. just for a moment, hallelujah, that God has given to you and I as children of God. He has given us great advantages over the powers of darkness, over the power of the enemy, over even your own flesh. John chapter 1, a little bit further down, verses number 12 and 13. But as many as received him, you want to receive Jesus today? I didn't ask you if you wanted to be saved. I said, do you want to receive Jesus today? Do you want to open up every door of your heart and receive Jesus today? You see, when that King of Glory comes in, things change. Hallelujah. Praise God. But see, here's the problem. As we know about him, we've met him, but a lot of times we don't receive him. Amen. Here comes the enemy knocking on your mind's door. Didn't say your heart's door. I said your mind's door. Amen. You need to run on downstairs and open up the heart's door to Jesus Christ. And then when you go to that door that the enemy's knocking on, you can open it up and say, sorry, devil, but Jesus Christ is already here. Woo, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, you have to go. See, that's the authority you have as a child of God. Hallelujah. I guess we've forgotten that sometimes because we think we just can't overcome. Well, that's because you're trying to do it without the authority of Jesus Christ. You need to get right back down to the heart's door and get it swung wide open when receive Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because when we receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So it's a supernatural born of God. So that means my victory is going to have to be a supernatural victory from God. We got a part to play in it. Don't misunderstand me. I'm getting there, but I'm talking about the advantages right now that we have. He's given us the power or the right or the authority to operate as a son of God. That means we have full access to our Heavenly Father. We have full access to the power of God. Full access, woo, hallelujah, to the power that created everything you can see or imagine. You have access to that power. Woo, through Jesus Christ. Oh. That's an advantage, my friend. Wow. Glory to God. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Okay, so now, the name of the Lord's a strong tower. Amen. Praise God, he's a strong tower. He's a strong tower. He's a strong tower. Tell me, what good does a strong tower do if you don't run into it? Oh, woo, hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, you know, you've got an invader coming into the house. And, I mean, you've got an arsenal that people covet after. We don't covet. But people do sometimes. But you're standing there shaking. And you do nothing about the arsenal you have. Woo! I told my son the other day, I said, I think I'm going to get one of those, you know, sawed-off shotguns with a pistol grip. Keep it loaded beside the bed. Because a lot of times when I get up out of bed, I'm not moving fast anymore. You know, I used to tell folks, when that rapture takes place, I'm going to take the first 10, 15 feet by myself. Not anymore. I'm just going to wait on Jesus to take me. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to wait on God and let God do it for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I told him, I said, I think I'm just going to get one of those, because that way I don't even have to aim it. I just concoct that thing, you know, and folks will probably just run. But if I had to pull the trigger, all I got to do is just kind of point the general direction, and they will get my point. Hallelujah. Because I'll have to take advantage of the arsenal that I have, or it will do me no good. No good. So he's a strong tower, and the righteous. Are you washed in the blood? Are your sins washed away? Are you hungering and thirsting after righteousness? I got to move on here. I can't preach all this. Hallelujah. They run into it, and they're safe there. You are no match for the devil within your own strength and power. None whatsoever. I mean, humanity. The devil is a fallen angel. He just has paranormal strength. I mean, we talk about the heavenly angels, and I personally, I believe that I've seen an angel in operation. I believe I saw an angel take about a 250-pound buck deer, grab him by the antlers, and hurl him off the road into the ditch. I mean, angels can do that. So tell me, just how strong and how well are you going to be able to overcome the devil in yourself? You can't. He'll pick you up, throw you down, stomp on you, and just make a mud puddle in you, in yourself. But when you mention the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the devils tremble. Hallelujah. So you're going to have to be on a first name basis with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in a right relationship with him, and on a continual pattern of running into that tower of refuge, that place of refuge, hallelujah, that's in Christ Jesus. See, we have the advantage. Wow. My. Psalms 9 and 10, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Wow. God won't forsake us. He will be there for us if we put our trust in him. What is that? That's the same as running to him. Isaiah 12 and 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Okay, so now we have salvation mentioned twice here. So that means there's two phases of that salvation. There's the introduction of salvation, and then there is the continual salvation, where Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, are continually saving us from ourselves. Ooh, my. Because if you're left to yourself, you will split hell wide open. You will not be able to overcome. No, not at all. Until you learn how to run to the tower. Do you learn? Did you catch that it said, run? This is kind of how it goes, you know. This is just a simplified little version. Here comes the enemy. He's knocking. He's talking. You know, the enemy doesn't wait for you to open up the door. He's going to talk right through the door. Yeah, because he's your enemy. He's going to try to intimidate you, manipulate you. He's going to try to talk to you until you don't even know which way's up or down. You cannot give time to the enemy at all. If he starts talking through the door, well, I guess I need some help. He's still talking.
No. The Bible, the Word of God just said there, runneth.
In the name of Jesus. You got to run from it first and then turn around and put it in its place. Because you're not strong enough in yourself to stand there and go toe-to-toe with the devil. And then we wonder why we don't overcome. Because we are not taking the proper steps and taking full advantage of the advantages of our God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Psalm 37:25. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God's never going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. And he has provided everything for you that you need to be victorious. It's a matter of you and I laying a hold of it right here in the way we think. If you think you can't make it, you will not make it. That's just bottom line of it. I'm kind of blessed in a way, partially cursed. I've got a lot of confidence in myself. I do. I just, whatever I try to lay my hand to, I got confidence. I will figure it out sooner or later. It may be years later, but I will figure it out sooner or later. I got confidence that I can do that. That confidence sometimes is not a good thing at all. Because it can move into arrogance, it can move into pride, but it's not wrong to be confident in what you have abilities to do. I'm pretty confident I can step up here and sing "I'll Fly Away." I'm not nervous about it or scared of it, but put me into a new song and I don't have confidence that I'll get it quite right or come in right, or so I'll just soon sing with someone. Now, I can follow greatly in a new song, but to lead that thing? Wow. If you really want some hilarious stories, talk with Sister Pepper when she tried to teach me how to sing and start and get timing. And I told you the other night that I just sing as loud as I could. I didn't say I did it good. Praise God. And so we see that. So my strength is not going to be in my own confidence other than when I put my confidence in my God. See, there's a lot of folks, they don't have very much self-esteem. They don't have a lot of self-confidence. And so they don't think they can ever do it. But see, this is where the enemy's really messing you up in your thinking, because it has nothing to do with your ability. It has nothing to do with self-confidence. It has everything to do with self-surrender and confidence in the advantages of Jesus Christ as Savior of your soul. Hallelujah. It's getting the right mind frame. It's not about you in this sense. It's about him and what he said he will do if you will just trust him. Hallelujah. The righteous are never forsaken. 1 Samuel 12:22, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Sister Lindsay was just sharing with us, when that one sheep goes astray, he leaves the 99 to go find it. And the angels rejoice. Hallelujah. I mean, it's God's pleasure to make you his son and daughter. He didn't begrudgingly say, "Oh, yeah, I guess we'll make this one a child of God." No. He gladly receives all who will call on his name and put their trust in him. Hallelujah. And then you become his people, and he will not forsake his people. Hebrews 13:5-6, let your conversation be without covetousness. and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Oh, man, let your conversation, let your lifestyle be without covetousness. Hang on. You're probably going to wish these pews had seat belts. Hang on. Fixing to take you for a ride. Quit coveting after being somebody else. Did you catch that? Your lifestyle, your decisions, your thinking is always swayed because you wish you weren't you and you wish you were somebody else. That's covetousness. See, a lot of times we don't understand that we covet all the time, and we're not realizing because we don't have a full understanding. Covetousness is you're just wanting something besides what you have. And you're wanting to be something besides what you are. But it's all stemmed out of covetousness and not sincerity and surrender. Because God's going to make you the best you could be. He created you with your DNA. You are your own individual. God created you. Amen. You are unique. And what we have to do as unique individuals is plummet ourselves into the kingdom of God and surrender to God that he can take us, our DNA, our temperament, the way we are, purify it, sanctify it, renew it, change it, transform it into the image of Christ. And you will be all you can be. For Jesus. Hallelujah. Quit thinking you wish you were somebody else. No. Start thinking, I'm God's creation. Hallelujah. God created me. God saved me. God washed me. God cleansed me. God's filled me with the Holy Ghost. So I need to strive to be who I am for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That is one thing that the Lord helped me with when he first called me to preach, because the tendency of a young preacher is to want to be like another preacher. Oh, if I could just preach like this one. If I could just preach like this one. If I could just preach like this one. Timmy, you need to preach like that one. Hallelujah. When I got a hold of that, I realized God just wanted to use me to preach. Hallelujah. He didn't want to use me clone to somebody else. He wanted to use me, my temperament, my abilities, who he created me to be. He wanted to use me. Hallelujah. And all I had to do was start just giving me unto him. And then he could do something with it. Oh, praise God. You see, this is the advantage. This is the advantage. Because God is for us. He's not against us. But here's the losing part. I got to hurry. You know, we always say that, but we really don't. I guess I need to quit saying that because I go as fast as I can. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now I want to talk about losing. I think you're confident now you've got an advantage in Jesus Christ. But now how do we kick this advantage into gear? How do we engage into this advantage that comes through Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run, there's that word run again, with patience or endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, amen, the author or the authority and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Hey, can you stand up for truth and endure the mocking, the laughter, the persecution? Despising the shame. I mean, the Bible says, cursed is any man that hangs on the tree. Yet they were proclaiming him, he's the Son of God. Yeah, but he's hanging on a tree. It means he's cursed. Yeah, he was. He was cursed for you. He died for you. Amen. He took your place. He took my place. Hallelujah. And he willingly did that. You think that was fun? You think that was joyous at the time he was doing that? I mean, back up. You find him in the Garden of Gethsemane wanting and asking and desiring for this cup to pass away and not have to bear it. It's humanity. But then he hit that place where you're going to have to hit and I'm going to have to hit it if I'm going to be victorious. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Despising the shame, and now he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Nobody stood with him. Everybody was against him. Disciples forsook him. One of them betrayed him. Two of them. One of them repented, one of them did not. Lest ye be wearied and faint, where? In your minds. See, your mind is a very important part of your Christianity. That's why it's very important you guard what you put in it. Because it is a very important part of your Christianity. Be sober. What is that? That means clear-minded, sober, because you have an adversary. Oh, you got to think. Oh, there it is. Look out. Everybody cries. You run a school. Every now and then there's that question and there's just think. And all the students just melt and begin to cry. I don't know how to think. I believe you, but we got to change that. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've never, anyway, we'll move on quickly. Move on quickly. Amen. Hallelujah. So here we are. Here's the key to the advantage. We've seen those that have run the race before. They've already entered into the reward. We can read about Peter, Paul, all the apostles, and then there's people we know that have run this race, and they've entered into the reward. But here's something that we've got to do, and this is why there's such difficulty in the hour we're living in. It says, let us lay aside every weight. Oh, man, that's too hard. That sounds like work. Yeah, it is hard. And yeah, it is work. But if you want to lay hold of the advantage of God, you better start doing some hard work. Hallelujah. Let us lay aside every weight. What is a weight? Anything that is trying to bombard your mind and take it away from the authority of Jesus Christ is a weight, and you need to throw that thing away. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Your right hand offends you, cut it off. If your right eye offends you, pluck it out. That's that hard work we need to step into. Amen. But we've got a society that doesn't want to work. We've got a society, if they don't feel like it, they don't do it. Woo. You better get that rectified if you're among that part of the society. You're split hell wide open because you're never going to make it until you're ready to make a decision and stand on that decision whether you feel it or not. And you do it because you know it's right to do, and you do it because you love God more than you love yourself. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. So did you notice? It easily besets us. That means that's that one that we always fall to. It's the one we always start listening to the devil about. It's the one we all. So how do we lay hold of the advantage? Well, we can waller in self-pity and whine and cry, oh, God, please take this temptation away from me. And God just up there shaking his head. Don't you realize what I have provided for you? Arise, ye that sleep. Oh, my, press thyself into the kingdom. Press thyself into God. Press thyself into the word. Hallelujah. And you will find victory every time. But if you just waller there and want God to take it away, you're just going to waller all day long and all life long, maybe, because that's not how it works. It works when I realize I must lose my life that I can gain my life. Hallelujah. Luke 9 and 23, and he said to them all. Oh, that's me. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life, in other words, if you always bent on doing your will, he shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life, denying yourself is what that is. For my sake, because of Jesus Christ, I'm just not going to go there. I'm not going to think there. I'm not going to watch there. I'm not going to listen there. I'm not going there. Because of Jesus, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world? Okay, I'm going to give you a little synopsis here of the whole world. I'll give you a little bit different wording. What is a man advantaged if he always gets what he wants and always does his own will and really care less what God wanted him to do? What advantage is that? Because he will lose himself and become a castaway. He'll die lost right in the house of God. Yeah. Until you are ready to arise, take up your cross every day and follow Jesus Christ, you will not overcome. Because the advantage that God gives is so that we can lose our lives and take up his. Praise God. That's the advantage God has given us. He has not given us an advantage that temptation will go away. He's given us the advantage if we'll run to the strong tower, we will be safe. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh, glory to God. I got to move on. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. I'm about to reach my goal. I told you I was going to try to be short, but I actually had a goal. Praise God. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Oh, Brother James, I remember when you were a teenager, there was times you frustrated me so bad on that basketball court. Because Brother James would play hard for a little while, and then when he got tired of the game, he was just there. Am I telling it right? I said, come on, Brother James, come on, man, get in, get your head in the game. Yeah. That was frustrating to me because I never wanted to take my head out of the game, and I didn't even want the game to stop, you know. But that's all right. I mean, that's not a wrong thing. But if you're going to run, you got to run to obtain. That means you're not giving up. You're not quitting. And even when it gets hard, you're going to rise up and give it a little bit more. Because you want to obtain. Do you want the victory? Then run like you want the victory. Run that you might obtain. Pray that you might obtain. See, help me, Jesus. It ain't going to do you a dime's worth of good. Now, let me rephrase that, because a dime's not worth anything anymore. It's not going to do you $100 worth of good to come down here and pray, Lord, give me strength. Lord, give me strength to overcome. Lord, give me strength. I don't want to fall again. And you'll pray and pray and pray right down there at that altar. But when you get in the midst of the temptation, you never utter a prayer. It ain't going to do you any good to pray here. That's not where you need to be praying. No. And it really doesn't, it's not going to give you the victory to be blessed by the Holy Ghost right here. It's going to give you refreshing. But you're going to need to be blessed by the Holy Ghost right at the moment of temptation. You're going to have to pray through right at the moment of temptation. You're going to need a manifestation of the Holy Ghost right at the moment of temptation. That's why you can pray down here, God touches you down here, God washes you down here, God encourages you down here, but you will never do what needs to be done out there. And thus you never overcome, you're never victorious because you're not thinking straight. The enemy has got you thinking that you can't overcome because you're not at the altar. I've preached to you before, everywhere Abraham went, he built an altar. Hallelujah. You need to learn to build your altar at the moment of temptation. Woo! Hallelujah. You need to learn to deny yourself at the moment of temptation. You need to learn to take up your cross and follow Jesus at the moment of temptation. Hallelujah. Because temptation's not going to go away. Your adversary, the enemy, he's going about. And if you'll pay attention to him and won't send him on his way, he'll be there a long time. But you have the power, you have the advantage, you have the authority in Jesus Christ to rebuke him and send him away. Amen. Draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. What is that? That's camp meeting right in the moment of temptation. Woo! That's praying through and worshiping God right in the moment of temptation. Hallelujah. When the temptation comes, lift your hand, lift your voice. God in heaven, I thank you for the strength you gave me at the altar. Lord, I'm needing it more right now. God, I'm going forward with you. I'm not giving up. Devil, get out of here. That's a little radical. You better get radical. Or you'll never overcome. You'll never make it. But trust me. Trust me, church. I've been there so many times. And if you don't take authority over that thing, it'll take authority over you. You see, every man striveth for the mastery. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. If you're not of the habit of saying no to yourself, you need to get in that habit. Yeah. Hang on, here's a rough one. Yeah, just because you have a hunger pain doesn't mean you have to eat. I'm preaching to the pastor. I'm serious. Just because you have a hunger pain doesn't mean you have to eat. Temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we, an incorruptible, a victory, a power with God. Wow, my. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. No. I bring it right down to where I know the problem is. Verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. See, it doesn't do any good for me to preach this message to you and then not abide in it and not believe it and not live it. You see, I want this message just as much as I want you to have this message. 1 Corinthians 15:31, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Here's the bottom line. You see, that's the one you always want to look at when you're fixing to sign a contract. You always want to look at the bottom line. the little fine small print right down there at the bottom that gives you all those exclusions and disclosures that nobody said anything about. Here's the bottom line. Until I am ready to lose my life for Jesus, I will not be victorious. I can go through life struggling to be a Christian, or I can choose this day who I'm going to serve. That's what Joshua said. Choose you this day. Thought I put it in my notes, but I guess I did not get it there. But everybody knows where it's at, don't you? Joshua chapter 24, verse number 15. I am going to close with this scripture. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, does it seem evil to anybody in here to serve God? I don't think so. I don't think it seems evil. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, are you going to do it like Dad did it, or are you going to do it like God wants it done? They were on the other side of the flood. That's just talking about the River Jordan. That's not talking about Noah's day. Or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did these great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. We'll stop right there. God gave the children of Israel great advantage. He brought them out of Egypt. That's what God does for us when He saves us. He brings us out of sin. He brings us out of the culture of the world. He brings us out of the culture of sin and cleanses us. In other words, the past sins are gone. They're cleansed. They're gone. And it creates in us a new creature, which is created after Christ Jesus. And then He makes this statement, will you serve me? Will you serve me? Will you follow me? And we have to make this choice that Joshua made. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord on a daily basis. Not something I said just 38 years ago. It's something I said this morning. I will serve you. I will follow you. I will be what you want me to be. Hallelujah. I will render my life into your hands, and I want to take full advantage of the advantages you have given unto me. Let's stand together. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord God, for your advantage. Thank you for the power in the name of Jesus Christ. God, we are not in Christianity just so we can have all your promises fulfilled in us, but we are in Christianity so that you can perform all your promises in us. Lord, that we can be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was anointed of the Holy Ghost and went about doing good to all men. Hallelujah. God, we want that transformation. We want that power. We want your will and your work being done in us. Lord, help us. Remind us and renew our minds and affirm in our minds what it takes, Lord, to walk in this advantage you have given unto us. Hallelujah. There's no preservation of self in the kingdom of God, but a mortifying of the flesh and the deeds thereof, and learning how to run to the strong tower of our God in the midst of the fiery darts. Wielding the shield of faith. What is that, oh God? That's running to you. Hallelujah. Doing your will, doing your work, God. I pray, encourage our hearts, encourage our souls. Help us, Lord God, to have the tenacity to stand up against the enemy, the determination to stand up against the enemy, God. In these last days, in these perilous times, there is not one of us exempt from the attack of the enemy. Lord, help us to bear one another's burdens. Pray for one another, O God. Lord, that we might be strong in the power of your might. Thank you, O God, for how you're moving in this house, in our lives, Lord God. And your word, Lord, that you share with us, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor, O God, for what you are doing in our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for the mercy, the grace, the forgiveness, the long-suffering you have for us, oh God. But Lord, help us to rise up, God, and take full advantage, God, of what you have done for us. Hallelujah. Could we give him praise just one more time? Thank you, Lord, for this great salvation.